Al-Bayan Radio presents a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi
presented by Farhan bin Rafi' Ahmed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil falan tajida lahu waliyan murshida wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah al-ahad al-qahhar. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for Him. And he whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for Him except through the will and permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except that you are Muslims. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we have reached the 30th lesson of this series, and we are on part 3, and inshallah the final part of the hadith 19. And we'll just begin with the Arabic and then the translation for the brothers and sisters to recap and to just review which hadith we are on, inshallah, so that they can follow on. بإذنالله تبارك وتعالى. Imam Nawawi رحمه الله says, عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف رواه الترمذي وقال حديث صحيح وفي بعض النسخ حديث حسن صحيح وفي رواية غير الترمذي احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. The translation is on the authority of Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, who said, one day I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to me, O young man, I shall teach you some words, advices. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, then ask of Allah, and if you seek help, then seek help through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that if the nation were together to benefit you with something, they would not benefit you with anything except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already recorded for you. And if they gathered to harm you by something, they would not be able to harm you by anything except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already recorded against you. The pens have lifted and the pages have dried. Recorded by Tirmidhi, who said this hadith is sahih, and in other manuscripts it is found this hadith is both hasan and sahih. And in a narration other than Tirmidhi, it states, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will find Him in front of you. Become acquainted and know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during times of prosperity, and He will know you at times of adversity. Know that what has passed you by was never meant to befall you, and know that what has befallen you was never meant to have passed you by. And know that victory comes with patience, and that relief comes with affliction, and that with hardship is ease. This is, again, subhanallah, يعني a beautiful, beautiful hadith. Tabarakallah. Just the English and the Arabic by itself is sufficient. يعني we don't really need to go through anything, because just the translation of this hadith is beautiful. Just the wordings. We don't really need to go into the ins and outs of the hadith. But last week, walillah alhamd, we covered يعني, a lot of the matan of the hadith, the text of the prophetic tradition. And the week before, we took the biography of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Today, inshallah, we'll cover just the final part of what's left, inshallah. And Basically, it is two main topics, and inshallah, we'll cover it very briefly, because one topic, the topic of Qadr, walillahi alhamdu, we already took it in one of the previous classes. Actually, we took it two times in two of the previous classes. But we'll begin with وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and know that indeed victory comes with patience, and that relief comes with affliction, and that with hardships come ease. Firstly, the main part of this, this prophetic tradition is sabr, patience. For we have to first look at what is patience. What is sabr? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wa'alam anna nasra ma'a sabr," that victory comes with patience. So if you want victory, you have to know what patience is. Therefore, you can expect the victory. But if we look at how the ulama have explained what patience and sabr is, they define it in three ways. They define it and categorize it in three specific parts. The first is as-sabr ala ta'atillah, patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is as-sabr an ma'asillah, patience against displeasing Allah, against sin, patience in avoiding sin. And the third is as-sabr ala qada'i Allahi wa qadarih, patience upon the divine decree and predestination. Now, generally speaking, we all hear about the third. We all hear about that you have to be patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. But inshallah, I want to go through all three of the parts briefly. And don't get worried. We're going to go through it briefly, inshallah. And we'll begin with the first type of patience, which is patience ala ta'atillah. As-sabru ala ta'atillah. Patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before we begin, Afwan, the scholars have differed amongst themselves of which one is the best. Is it best to be patient upon worship, or is it best to avoid sin, or is it best to be patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon you? But we don't want to get into that, that discourse. What is important is that patience is important. That is what is important, and that is the milestone and the peak of a Muslim's character. Having patience in all of its fields, in all of the categories, is essential to be a believer. So the first is patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 28,
وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and keep yourself patient with those who call upon their Lord in the morning and evening, seeking His face. For over here, this is an example by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of how we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have patience upon worship. Patience upon a specific worship here. This is just an example of what it means. For over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be patient upon those who do the adhkar, or remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and the evening, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For over here, this is one of the examples, but this can come in many forms. Any worship that we have in Islam, being consistent in it, is patience upon that action. Therefore, it is patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For instance, something that is, I want to do some of the relevant ones to us, inshallah. And obviously there are more than this, and they're all relevant. But something that we can all take on board is, for instance, patience upon seeking knowledge. And subhanallah, this is something that really needs patience to continuously strive to seek knowledge. Whether you remain in this country or leave, you have to have one thing, and that is patience, persistence, perseverance. And this is something that a lot of people don't take in its original light and its rightful mindset, is they think, I will only study if I go to Egypt or Saudi or Malaysia or Yemen or wherever it may be. I don't know where you're going to study in Yemen, but that's a whole different can of worms. But The mindset is that I can only study if I go to a foreign land to sit with certain people, and until that point I will not do anything. I can't do it. It's not written for me. This mindset is dangerous, because what happens if you can't go? Then you die as a jahil, as an ignorant person, and then you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ignorance, and this is something that we don't want to do. It is something that you don't want to do. And seeking knowledge, part of it is obligatory. As we all know, we took it in one of the earlier lessons, which I know most of you remember. What is really essential is that this element of having patience upon seeking knowledge is not easy, but from the qa'idah of the salaf and from a hadith that is narrated by the Prophet ﷺ, whoever has patience upon an action, it will become easy for him. Whoever is patient upon an action, it will become easy for him. And another example is, for instance, for the husbands to be a good husband. Patience upon being a good father and a good husband. So this is a worship, because this is a role and responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You have taken a wife upon a contract, which is upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For upholding this contract, the contract of the nikah, the contract that is between the mutual understanding, is a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the niyyah is there. And vice versa, the wife being patient in being a good wife. But this is something that if the person is patient upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance and guidance, Ya Rab. Another type of patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, for instance, something that is very relevant today, is patience upon the prayers. Maintaining the prayers. Praying on time. Praying in the jama'ah, in the congregation. And subhanAllah, this is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be patient on. He says in Surah Taha, verse 132, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and enjoin or order your family upon the prayer, and be patient and steadfast therein. Order your family, and some of the tafasir, order the people, your people, to pray. And be patient upon it. On the order and the prayer. But this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani being patient upon worship, it comes in many ways and forms in the Quran and the Sunnah. And these are some of the ways that we can be patient upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is essential to understand is that the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means to come close to Him. And through being patient in this is a means to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously till the day we meet Him. Then the second type, as-sabru an ma'asillah. Patience in not sinning. Patience in not sinning. And this is a struggle, a day-to-day struggle for the believer, keeping away from sin. And to really have this patience, one of the greatest ways that you can have this patience and maintain this patience is to find remembrance in the akhirah, in the hereafter. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the advice to do. And it is a specific advice to the believers. And we hear it constantly, over and over and over again, every Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hashr, verse 18,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ.
O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow, and
have taqwa of Allah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all that you do. You have to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and private. And whenever you do an action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at the akhirah. Every single one of you, look at the akhirah. Look at tomorrow, يعني meaning the akhirah. What have you prepared for it? For whenever one person is going to do any action, what he is required to do is to think, where will this lead me in the akhirah? Where is this going to lead me to when there is nothing else that I have except my actions? When you do this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at what you have put forward. But you can look at, and you can either see two things. You can either see that you have done good, and then you want to increase in it, because you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more good. Or you can see a taqseer, a shortcoming with you, in what you have put forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you know that you have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make up for those shortcomings. So this is one of the ways that it can help you avoid sin. By looking at your akhirah, that you are accountable for whatever you're going to do. And subhanallah, if we look at the verse that came after this verse, when we were doing this in tafsir, subhanallah, I remember getting goosebumps the first time I read it. But when you look at the next verse, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say after it?
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
And do not be like those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he made them forget themselves. Those are the defiantly disobedient. But don't be of those who did not do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. They avoided what he ordered. They forgot what he ordained. And they forgot the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of sin. They did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the tafsir of this verse is that they forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of sin, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget tawbah. So that they weren't able to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not know how to relieve themselves from the anger and the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection, ya Rab. And then, what is even more amazing, the verse that comes after this. Subhanallah.
لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون.
The people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam are not equal. Indeed, those that are truly successful are the people of Jannah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So the first verse is, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look at what you are putting forward for tomorrow, what you are putting forward for the akhirah. This is what you're meant to do. The verse after it is telling you, don't be of those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you're not meant to do. And then the result of each of them. That the people of Jannah are the people of the first category, of the people of taqwa, the people that hold themselves accountable. They are in Jannah. And the people of Jahannam are the people that forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting a clear criterion, a clear distinction between the two. And he's saying, these are where the both paths lead. But only one is successful. Only one is successful. Ashabul Jannah. Humul Faizun. They are the truly successful ones. The first verse is do muhasaba, hold yourself accountable. Look at what you're going to do. Look at what you're putting forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is don't be of those who forgot Allah. And the third verse is this is where they both lead. and only one is successful. Those who have taqwa and hold themselves accountable, they are the successful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them, Ya Rab. The third condition, the third category, afwan, of sabr is as-sabru ala qada'i Allahi wa qadarih. To be patient upon divine decree and predestination. To be patient upon what befalls you, what is written for you. And this, subhanAllah, ties in with basically the end of the hadith, that whatever was to befall you was not going to miss you, and whatever has missed you wasn't going to befall you. Yani, it ties in with this. This understanding of being patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ankabut, verse 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ.
Do the people think that they would be left to say, we believe? Do they think that it is enough for them to say, we believe, and that they would not be tested? To say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why am I being tested? I say I believe. Why is this happening? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers,
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but we have certainly tried those that came before them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely make evident those who are truthful and will make evident those that are liars. Are you saying you believe? This is your test. Being patient upon what has happened and befallen with you. And whatever has befallen you, it is not enough to just say, I believe, and think that is what's going to save you from being afflicted with trials and calamity in this dunya. But rather, this is the test of your faith. And a weakness of iman is the one who says, I believe, and when something happens to him, he runs away, turns his back, forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looks towards the people, and doesn't come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, if we look closely into what are the type of tests that happen and befall a person, they are in categories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully, He says in Surah Baqarah, verse 155,
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقُصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will surely test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, life, provisions, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. But if you want the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bushra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to be patient with whatever has been decreed for you. This is something that is going to happen whether you like it or not. You are going to be trialed in one of these things. In your health, your wealth, your provisions, whatever it may be, you're going to get afflicted by it. This is something that is going to happen whether you like it or not. But the way that we are meant to be is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bushra is for the patient, glad tidings are for the patient. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Those that have been trialed the calamity, those that were befallen with the calamity, they said, indeed we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to him we return. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says,
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
Those specific few who are patient and say, إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, when a musibah happens, upon them is the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mercy, and indeed those are the ones who are guided.
So this is what we have to do. If you want the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want ease, you want from hardships, and you want relief from distress, you have to be patient with what befalls you. And subhanallah, if we look at يعني, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that nasr, victory, comes through patience, you can see victory in all of these things. If you have patience upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? You enter Jannah. And if you avoid sin, victory. What victory do you get? The first is the victory of what? Jannah. The second is the victory of Jannah. And the third is the victory of Jannah. Victory comes with patience. Victory comes with patience. In every element of patience that you have, victory ultimately. Don't look at it only in the lens of the dunya. That ease will always come after distress. Relief will only come after an affliction. This world is an affliction. This dunya itself, what is it? It's a test for you. And if you have patience, you will get the ultimate victory. And this is a promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Victory comes with patience. Relief comes with distress. After the distress of this world, this dunya, the humum, the ghumum, the worries and distresses of this life, the one who has patience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he get? Relief. Jannah. And this is why, and for the believers, death is not a scary thing. Death is not a scary thing for a believer, because he wants to go to his Lord. This is why the Prophet ﷺ repeated, the highest companion at the point of death. Why? Because he knew what he put forward. He knew where he was going. He was going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But this is something that يعني, we can continue on this. It's this is days we can continue on this topic, but we have to move on. Quickly, trials happen. يعني just basically, trials happen for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we are meant to do, and this is something that's the sunnah of haya, it's the law of life. This is going to happen. But you have to just do one thing and you have to be patient. And from this, you will know that you will get patience in this world and the next as well. You will find relief in this world and the next. You'll find victory in this world and the next. If you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you, is being patient. Is being patient. Okay, then the next... is that, if we look at, that was patience, with patience comes victory. Relief comes with affliction, and with hardship comes ease. With hardships comes ease. This, subhanAllah, over and over again, if we look into the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi wa sallam, and the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam generally, this is something that comes over and over again, this theme, that relief always comes after affliction, and that with hardship is always comes ease. If we look at, for instance, Nuh alayhi salam, he gave da'wah to his people for 950 years. 950 years, patient upon the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've not seen much success until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a way out. If we look at Ya'qub alayhi salam, he lost Yusuf alayhi salam for over 40 years before seeing him again. Sometimes the relief isn't in a day or two. 40 years until he saw, he became blind from the pain, from the amount of tears that he shed over his son. 40 years he lost his son, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sought a relief for him after 40 years. SubhanAllah. Yunus alayhi salam, swallowed by a whale. Ibrahim alayhi salam, stories of Ibrahim, unbelievable. Thrown into a fire.
Imagine being of a certain age, يعني when you can't have children, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a child, and then says, sacrifice it. Patient. Done. And then when he goes to Mecca, leaves them in a land that is barren. The most beloved to him, his family, his wife and his kid. Leaves them. And says, they have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us. The story of Hajar alayhi salam. What happened between Safa and Marwa? Struggle, running between Safa and Marwa 7 times. It's not an easy run before hills, mountains, rocks, sharp. What type of shoes were they wearing? And this is not, and you keep thinking that it's like our time, Halla. Running in between until Zamzam came. From Jibreel alayhi salam, putting his wing on the ground. يعني يوسف عليه السلام imprisoned for years. موسى عليه السلام being stuck with Bani Israel. It's worse of a punishment. But if you look constantly, this is what the stories of the prophets teach us. Relief always comes. Victory always comes. With ease. Ease only comes after hardship. And this was the life of the prophets. Our prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before he was born, his father passed away. When he was born, his mother passed away. He was ordered not to make dua for them. Fill in the blanks. His grandfather passed away. His uncle passed away at a young age. His grandfather passed away at a young age. His uncle passed away at a later age. His first wife passed away. He had 7 children. He buried 6 of them. In his lifetime, he saw that 6 of them had passed away. He experienced hunger, thirst. He was beaten, stoned. He was poisoned and died because of the poison. He suffered from the effects of poison for years. He was thrown out of his land. He was sent away. He sought refuge anywhere that he could be found. What was the end result of it? 1,400 years later, we believe that he is the messenger of Allah. And on top of that, don't worry about that, he has al-firdaws al-a'la, the highest point in Jannah. What more do you want than that? Sometimes the relief here is not in this world. Even though the Rasulullah saw the victory in his lifetime, I'm saying the ultimate relief. Is there anything better than firdaws al-a'la? The highest point in Jannah? The closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is something that you have to keep understanding, inshaAllah. Again, don't want to lose track. The next part of the hadith, the part that we missed, is that if the ummah were together against you, they would not be able to harm you with anything except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And if they wanted to benefit you with something, then they will not be able to benefit you except with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written. For this is something that we have to understand, the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we took the understanding of the qadr of a Muslim, the understanding of a believer of qadr, of predestination. We've taken it, walillah alhamd, in an earlier class. But just generally, the first thing to be created was the pen. And the pen asked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it to write. And the pen asked, what do I write, O my Lord? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, write the qadr until the end. But what we know is that everything was predestined. However, you are not forced to do anything. Your choices are ultimately written there, but you are not forced to do anything. You are not forced to do anything. We're not the Jabariya, where we sin and we say, oh, Allah wrote it down for me, I have to sin. Or when it comes to worship, we become the Taqadariya, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't write that I did this prayer. I'm forced to do whatever I want to do. It's not like that. Our understanding of Qadar is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote what is, what was, what is to be, and had something been, I know it's a bit of a tongue twister, had something been, how it would be, had it been. This is the understanding of qadr of a believer. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ultimately written whatever you are going to do, but you have the ultimate free choice to do whatever you are going to do. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whatever is going to happen to you, was going to happen to you, whatever was going to harm you, was going to happen to you. And it's going to befall you, it's going to befall you. If it wasn't meant to befall you, it wasn't going to befall you. That's the understanding of a believer. And then we have the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ سَنَةٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the measurements of the heavens and the earth, ordered the measurements of all of the creation before creating the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. This happened a long time ago. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. That the pens have lifted and the pages have dried. Now there is a misunderstanding here. There are two types of writing. Two types of writing. We have kiram al-katibin. We have the writers on the right and the left, who are writing whatever good you do, whatever the evil you do. That is still happening. Those pages and the pens are still going. However, what is meant in this hadith is that with the lawh al-mahfuz, in the preserved tablets before creation, what is destined for you has happened. What is written for you has already happened. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the pens have lifted and the pages have dried. However, what is happening now, there is a difference. Now this is accountability of what did you ultimately choose. It's all written down. So you have no excuse and say, I didn't do it. You have kiram al-katibin. You have two witnesses who are there. Angels who on a daily change. You have two sets of angels who change on a daily. And this is something that we have. We understand as part of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we have accountability, angels that are writing down, scribing, whatever you do. Whatever you do. And basically, this is the end of the Hadith 19. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this beneficial. Sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Afwan. Hadithun hasanun sahih. What does it mean when Imam al-Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi says hadith sahih? In my manuscript, my edition that I'm going off, it says that Imam al-Tirmidhi said, qala rawahu al-Tirmidhi qala hadithun sahih. I haven't found this in any of the manuscripts that I've personally looked at. What I have found in the majority of it is that Imam al-Tirmidhi said that this hadith is hasan and sahih. Whereas in this manuscript, in this text over here, it says sahih, that Imam al-Tirmidhi said sahih. There's a difference. Basically, what does this mean? I want to give you just one of the meanings. There's a lot of khilaf between the ulama of what does it mean when Imam al-Tirmidhi says hadithun hasan sahih, because sahih is one thing and hasan is another. Sahih is one thing and hasan is one another. Sahih is the highest point of grading when it comes to a hadith. Right? When something is sahih, there's only one grading that is better than that, when something is muttafaq alayh, when something is both recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. However, when something is sahih, this can be found in any of the books of hadith. Okay, just I want to break it down a little bit. A hadith that is sahih is the highest form of hadith, when something is sahih, when something is authentic. Then you have a daraja that is under that, which is called hasan, which is sound, which is sound. It's not as good as the narrators aren't as amazing or great in the first light. However, they are still acceptable, but they don't meet the first level, because sometimes they can still make mistakes. When you say this is hadith, is hadith hasan or sahih, it has a little bit of an issue here of which one is it. It means either one or the other. And the scholars have differed a lot. In this one book of Tariq Iwadullah, Hafidhullah, he has mentioned, I think, maybe four aqwal, different aqwal of the ulama over here. However, I'm just going to give you one. And the one is of Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, who said that if the hadith itself has two isnads, then it means that one of them is sahih and one of them is hasan. That one of them is either hasan or sahih. If there's two isnads. However, there are cases where it is just the one hadith with one isnad. So what do you do then? Then he says that it is either hasan or sahih. That it could be either or, and that there's it's a very fine line, and I can't tell the difference between which and which. But it doesn't affect the grading of the hadith. It's still sound and acceptable. Therefore, this is one of the many possibilities, and I'm just giving you the possibility that Imam Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has brought forward, and I think that suffices. However, if you do see anything that it says hadithun hasanun sahih in Tirmidhi, it should be fine to take, inshallah.
This is a great Imam, Imam al-Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh. And I hope if someone does have any issues, they can ask later bi-idhnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. But I think that that suffices for this hadith specifically, that the text over here, I personally believe, I haven't seen where it says sahih. It usually says in the manuscripts, I have three different narrations of Tirmidhi, or two, I can't remember at the moment, but both of them said Hasan Sahih. And so inshallah we go by that, but it doesn't really affect the grading of the hadith. It is still authentic. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.